Prokim, and it's a big kavod for us to be able to hear Torah from Rabbi Yonah Piatsky.
Yashar Kochachem, it's always wonderful to be here. We have, over the years, a lot of Talmidim here who are very matzliach, Baruch Hashem. And something unique here about the level of intensity of connection and tipul and so on. So it's really, really something extraordinary in terms of the oimek nafshi, of the depth and so on. So I just wish you that you should be use your time really well, use as much of it, and get as much as you can, because this level of intensity and connection and everything else is really quite unique. I want to speak a little bit about Mishpatim. In the big picture, Mishpatim, as opposed to Yisro, is Dinei Mamonis, and it has elements of, it's more Mishpat, it's some things that we work with the Seichel, it's things that are mundane, it's things that Umos Olam also have. That's the general sense of it. So it's as if there's a Torah for reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Torah to get it for getting on with people, and it's two different sections, and that's why you have the Ve'ela connecting it. That's sort of the Pasha sense of it. But if we think into it a little bit, there are some... It seems as if there's a much deeper inyan here. And the first thing is, what does it start with? If somebody were asking you to make an intelligent tree of hierarchy of Dinim Mamonis, so you would start with Kinyanim, and then and Nizikin, and so on and so forth, Kinyan of Mechamemkar. There could be many reasonable ways. If someone were to ask you, give me in an hour the outline of Dinei Mamonis. Eved Ivri comes out of left field. Ve'ela mishpat ha'shasim v'nehem, ki sikne Eved Ivri she'ishonim yavad she'yitzachav shechinom. It's very, very hard to understand how that should be the lead-off in Dinei Mamonis. It's sort of a very unique feature. It might be a special case of a sachir, sort of. I mean, of all the things to kick off, we could expect with Nezikin, like Baba Kama, that's a reasonable way to start off. Expect Kinyanim, Shoma maybe. But Eved Ivri, and the Klal is, in all things in the Torah, the things that are the starting point usually contain in itself an element of what, it sort of contains the entirety of the content. The Goyen says the word Bereishis contains all of Torah. In the Brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, we have we go with the first Bracha as being the most important. It is Bederach Klal understood, rightfully so. Rav Tzadik has a Klal in many places that the first time a word appears in the Torah, it's special, it signifies what its main meaning is, and so on. So if we start off Dinei Mishpatim with Eved Ivri, it is kind of fascinating that this would sort of typify some ways. It would be the essence of Mishpatim, and we really need to get a sense of it. In the Halachas of Eved Ivri itself, it's strange the way the Torah made it a two-tiered enterprise. First thing is the fact that a person can sell himself, so that selling is sort of because either it was stolen or because he wants to get money. The Torah then says it's possible to have a second phase of it. And we have two geulos. One geula is a geula of sheva, of seven. And then there's a second possibility of a geula of yovel. And the Torah says, if you want to, you can stay out longer, but you should know that it comes out of consequence. The Torah doesn't really want it. But the Torah provides Yovel, past which there can't be any Mechira. So somewhere along the line, the fact that the Torah didn't either cut off completely the ability to sell yourself afterwards, and the Torah structured it in a way that you have two tiers of Geula, is something interesting. It reflects obviously a much bigger picture, where you're talking about Geula and the big picture. There are two tiers of Geula. And it seems as if in Eved Ivri, in the Mahalach of Eved Ivri, there's a makom for two Geulos, one by choice, so to speak, and one where a person falls through and then needs another Geula all the way at the end. So let's be misamic a little bit. Let's think a little bit into the teichen, into the content of what kinyanim are, what dinimamenis is in its essence. When Adam was created in this world, if we ask ourselves, what's the tachlis of Adam in this world? So we can say many things, but the Torah gives us a message. The Torah says, "Vayomer Elokim." Let's look to the source. Nasa Adam etzalmeinu kedmusenu. Let's make an Adam in the tzelem and the mus kaviyachal vakadosh baruch hu. V'yirdu bedgas hayom of hashemayim v'behema v'b'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'remes haromes al ha'aretz. So the Torah itself tells you, at the creation of man, the purpose of man is to rule over the entire Bria. V'yirdu bedgas hayom v'hashemayim v'behema v'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'aretz. Whatever you'll say, whatever it is that you will describe man's tafkid in this world, the Torah describes as v'yirdu bedgas hayom. It's all going to have to come back to v'yirdu bedgas hayom v'hashemayim v'behema v'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'aretz. What is that tafkid? It says also, when Adam was put into Gan Eden, it says Vayinecheya b'Gan Eden la'avda u'lishamra. The description of our job in Gan Eden is la'avda u'lishamra, which is very much like v'yirdu. So man's purpose in this world is la'avda u'lishamra, or v'yirdu b'tgas hayom u'fashamayim u'babehem u'b'chol oretz, and so on. Let's refer to a Gemara. The Gemara says that Reb Pinchas ben Yair had Reb Pinchas ben Yair was a Kaddish Elyon. Reb Pinchas ben Yair was an extraordinary person. He's the one who gives us the Mahalach of Ruchnius that the Mesillas Yesharim gives the latter, so to speak, is his. Shemechai's father-in-law, he was a Kaddish Elyon. The Gemara says that two things. The Gemara in Chulin says, A, he never took anything from anybody. He never was nana from anybody. That's one point. The second point, it says that his donkey was so wouldn't eat something that Maisa hadn't been taken from. Chamoiros Rapinchas ben Yoel. Now let's understand something about that. Is that telling us something? I mean, he taught his chamor. He learned Musa with his chamor, halachas. What is the chamor of Shabbos Beyor? And the answer is that a person's ruchnius, seichel, das, puts a certain stamp on a person's physicality. For instance, someone who is a kadosh inside, he'll naturally flinch at seeing something he shouldn't see. He'll naturally flinch at touching something he shouldn't touch. It's just because his body is in tune with his seichel and his das. The hallmark of a tzuras adam is where the seichel is in command of the body, and the person's instincts and reactions are not only dictated by the seichel, but they follow along almost as a reflex. So the person draws away from something usser because his body is so much in tune with what his mind and his seichel and his das is. That's the tzura of Adam. Adam to the world is like the seichel and the das to the person. And just like a person can put a stamp, his seichel and his das can leave a stamp on his physical, and the person's eyes instinctively avert looking where he shouldn't look, and a person's hands don't go where they shouldn't go, and a person's feet don't walk where they shouldn't walk. That's sort of the instinct of a kaddish. A person has the ability to shape and stamp the world at the same shape and stamp as himself. The Adam is called the Nefesh Chaya, Chaim Vilna says, of the world. He's like the neshama, and this is what he's supposed to do. So if we ask, so Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yoyer wasn't educated, he wasn't trained, but Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer's kedusha carried itself over, just like a person's household members of carry a certain the effect that a person has with his own sense of kedusha and tara gives itself a stamp on the person, a stamp on the family. It also gives a stamp on the surrounding. Adkerei kach abal chai. It's a person who is arrogant and vicious and cruel. His dog will also show those signs because sort of the dog imitates. And a person who's gentle and so on, the Baal Chaim will have some sense of it. There is an overflow and it leaves its stamp. So if we ask ourselves, what's Adam's tachlis? Adam was put into this world to be the koach that shapes this world. When the Dora Mabel was mashchis, were mashchasin themselves, then the hishchis kolbasas darko, everything else went, because as man goes, so does the world follow. If their life was extremely coarse, then the Baal Chaim flowed along. Some of it is simple, some of it you can sort of work out psychologically, and some of it is a higher inyan, it's a mystical inyan, but it's the same principle, that the person has things, and that's what he leaves a stamp on. The koach, to affiliate with something, and to give it that relationship, is called kinyan. Chamoro shel Pinchas ben Yoyer was his kinyan. The kinyan is the extension of the person, so that his neshama, the chamor himself had no name. And the chamor itself didn't come with a title. It wasn't Kvod Kedusha as a chamor. He wasn't the holy chamor. He was Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer was kadosh, and the chamor of Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer. And if Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer were to make a kinyan chalipin and to give his chamor away to somebody else for a para, that chamor would become Tom Dick's chamor, and he wouldn't have that kedusha anymore because he's no longer his. So kinyanim are that extension of the person that really is the tachlis of the bria. That's what a person is meant to be, is have that extension. That's the world of kinyanim. Now, this thing itself goes in two ways. There's an old Yiddish mashal for somebody who gets himself into a bad situation. I'll tell you the words in Yiddish, then I'll explain it to you. It's called Chapma Kozak. Chapma Kozak means like this. A Kozak were the Russian soldiers, they Kozaks. They were cruel, they were fearless, they were anti-Semitic, of course, that goes without saying. And you stayed far away from a Kozak as you could, even though they're glorified, and yes, they can ride horses very well, and they're ferocious and everything, but they're also animals, and b'meila, you stayed as far away as you can. So somebody was once walking at night, and he saw something glint. He says, it's a diamond, and he grabs it. And then he feels that somebody else trying to pull it away from him. And he says, I'm not going to let this one go, and he pulls, and he feel somebody really pulling back and forth. A whole night he is wrestling to hold onto that diamond. As soon as it becomes light, he realizes it's the gleaming button of a Kozak's coat. So he's been struggling all night to hold on to a kazakh. And that's sort of a muscle. When a person works very hard to get himself into a pickle, it's called chatma kazakh. I want to explain an issue with kinyanim that is similar. It's true that the world is supposed to be under my dominion. That's the tachlis adam, and I'm supposed to hold on to it, take it as a kinyan, and impress it myself. What's the itzahara? In other words, everything has a counterbalance of bad to it. What happens? And the answer is, when I become owned by the thing that I own, that's the counterbalance. Let's give a simon. Let's give an example. One example, two examples. A person buys a car. Is that an extension of himself or limitation of himself? Well, let's work it out. I can walk at the most, let's say, 10 miles. If I have a car, I'd go 100 miles. So that's extending where I'm going, right? So it enhances my power, and I'm able to do more and go further. But once I have a car, I can't walk more than a block. I must use a car. So I've now become subject instead of master. I've become the kinyan of the car, because where the car doesn't go, I don't go. So here we have a situation where I purportedly was kona it, purportedly I own it, and in reality, I am being owned by it. It's true in goods, and it's true in taivas. If I want to, I can smoke a cigarette. So to go and to buy a pack of cigarettes shows my mastery, does it? Because once I smoke it, then I am the slave of the cigarette. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shlomo Zichron Livracha, was Rosh Yeshiva Amir. He was an awesome goyin in learning and a very very powerful Baal Musar. And he used to be a heavy smoker, like everybody else was, like all the other Rebbeim. This was once upon a time everybody smoked, and he was a heavy smoker. And he once explained how he gave up his smoking. He said, you know, he was old already, he wasn't well, and one night he wanted a cigarette. And he didn't have any, ran out, no cigarettes. So he walked up the block from the yeshiva, it was a cold night, and the guy was closed. So he walked up to Meir Sharm, and that guy was closed. And he started walking, and then he says to himself, this is quoting him, Chaimke, Chaimke, you're an Evet Knaini. And he turned around and never smoked again. The realization that someone else had taken over his life, and it doesn't make a difference that thing is a cigarette or a person, where it's not that I am using it, it's really using me. The tobacco is the master and I'm the slave. So I've just turned the tables around. The Bria is ruling me instead of me ruling the Bria. Reb Chaim used to say also, he had an expression, he used to say that the people who are poor, many of them got out of Europe in time because they had nothing to lose. People, especially in Germany, who had businesses and things, some of them dallied because they couldn't afford, they didn't want to lose that wealth, and they were trying to figure out maybe they could find a way and so on and so forth. It clouded their sense of the danger. So Reb Chaim used to say, a bal habayis, a bal habas in Europe, was an expression describing a well-to-do, comfortable person. He said, a bal habayis does not mean he is the owner of the house. It means the house owns him, because he couldn't let go. He couldn't flee. So we have, in the world of kinyanim, as in the world of taiva, we have a two-way street. Zacha, if a person makes a kinya kitikuno, so the person is the master over it. If he's not zocha, it becomes the master over it. There's a pasuk like that also. The pasuk speaks about taiva. Same thing in Bereishis. It says in the klola of Adam and Chava, Eloisha Omar, Harba Arbe Chitzvoinich Veroinich, Be'etzav Tel Dibonim, you're going to have a very tough life giving birth to children. Vel Ishech Chukoseich, you're going to crave your husband, Vehu Yimshalbach, and he will be the one that will rule over you. So the Koska says, and if he craves her, she rules over him. In other words, when a person is not powerless to use his seichel and his das to determine what's right, then he becomes beholden to that which he's running after. If you're desperate for something, if you need something, if you create that need, then you become the eved instead of the adol. So in this whole picture of Tachlis Adam, Tzuras Adam, Tachlis Adam, we have here an extraordinary a counterweight. On the one hand, Tachlis Adam is described in terms of mastery over the world, acting as the seichel to the guf that is the world, and thereby imposing his das and his seichel and his order onto the world, versus being nimshal by the world and becoming beholden to it. The Torah in Yisrei and Mishpatim is two halves of Tachlis Adam. Let's go back to the pasuk again, and let's understand the ayamik of the pasuk. Vayome Elokim Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. Let's make Adam with a tsura of Ruchnis, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that means is that when you want to stamp something, let's say I want to stamp a shape onto something, I create the mold that I want, and now it's a mold that I use to create other things in that mold. So Adam has two stages in realizing himself. There is taking on the shape and the mold that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Atzelem Elokim, and then V'yirdu B'tgas Hayom Of HaShemayim. Those are the two halves of Avodas Adam. Yisro is the Avodas Adam to become B'tzalmenu Kedmusenu. Once we were Chote, once we sinned, we had lost the Tzura of Adam. We no longer were B'tzalmenu Kedmusenu like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We took it on, and we lost it, so we had to rectify that. Parshas Mishpatim is the next piece of the puzzle. Parshas Mishpatim is, now that you have back that image of the divine, that Tzelem Elokim, now stamp it on everything else. That's the world of Mishpatim. The first thing the Torah tells us is the danger of this is that you become the Eved. The Nisoyon in putting your stamp on it is that you become Nimshach instead of Moshech. The Nisoyon of the Mashpia is to be a Mashpia and not a Mushpa. So when we come into contact with things in the world around us, we can impose our Tzelem Elokim on it, or Chas V'Sholem, just like, let's take the same example. If I have a stamp, and I'm trying to stamp things to be in the same image. So if it's dough, simple dough, then it works wonderfully well. If it's a tough dough, and it's a flimsy stamp, then the stamp becomes twisted, and it takes on the image of the blob of dough, because it doesn't have that strength. So Eved Ivri is the parsha where in Adam, purportedly he was Osek in Kinyonim, and he became a Nikne instead of a Kone. What happened was he either took money that shouldn't have been his. In other words, he needed the money instead of being able to put the money and say this yes and this not. Or his greed for the money outran what he should have. If a person is willing to give up his freedom for money, is he the master of that money, or is it a slave of that money? If a person is willing to do things that he shouldn't do to fulfill some sort of craving, so who's the master and who's the slave over here? And that's the Parsha Ivri. The Torah put down Eved Ivri as that Yisod because that's Yisod Ivri. And it goes through two stages. There's one stage that a person can still rectify himself. He works 6 years, hard years, without his family, and then he goes back. But a person, sometimes in that process, he says, a haftis ishti vesadoni. The person is becomes worse. The person becomes enslaved to the slavery. What do you mean haftis ishti? It's not your wife, it's not your children. Can you imagine a person saying, I love my wife, when she's hefkef everybody, she's a shifra kleinis, and the kids are not your kids because that's a mitzias? Is that called loving, or is that called being enslaved? The person, what has happened is the person has doubly enslaved himself. Then there's a ge'ula of gulas olamim, which comes without intervention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you out, whether you like it or not, because you haven't done it. There's a ge'ula that you can work towards and work your way through it and get out. And then there's a ge'ula where if that process itself enslaved you, the only thing that can take you out is a bal karcha. I want to take a few minutes just to sort of get a sense of it for ourselves. And I want to explain a nekuda in dealing with taivas and so on. Let's take an example. Let's take just cigarette smoking. It's easy taiva to touch on, or eating, or whatever. Everyone, I don't have to explain taivas. Everyone's very, very familiar and it. Don't even shalom. One thing about taiva is that we enjoy it. And that part you can still cope with. But there's another part where a person mistakes his taiva for a manifestation of his self. When I tell somebody, no, you can't have this, part of it, the person is upset that he's being denied a pleasure. The second part is, but I want it, and this is what I want, and you want me to be what I'm not, and this and this and that, and so on and so forth. There's a sense as if I'm curtailing a person's freedom by curtailing the taiva or the chamsa moment that he can engage in. But if a person were to think and ask himself, if I'm doing something so stupid and so crazy, is that me being able to do what I want, or is it me addicted to something? Which is it? If somebody else was sitting here, what would you tell them? If somebody else was sitting here and said, I'd like a Coke, what would I tell them? Go get it. But if someone else told me I'd like to do something that's not good for him, what would I tell them? You're crazy. So why do you think that this is what you want? That you're the master in the situation and somebody's thwarting the ability for you to be free? Isn't it the other way around? If you can't let go of it? Many, many years ago, we had a maisa where somebody did something very stupid and very crazy and really got himself into a lot of trouble. And he wrote a letter to his Rebbe. Yes, the right, love is blind. And so Rebbe wrote back to him, love is not blind. Taiva's blind. If it's blind, love can only be the result of seichel, das, neshama. Love belongs to a very special place. Taiva is a cruel master. It's not a cruel master because it's so tempting. It's a cruel master because you think that you're the master and it is the master. It's like a person on drugs. It is exactly the same thing. The Torah is telling us there's two halves to Avodas Adam. One half of Avodas Adam is forming himself in the shape of Tzom Elokim, Kitzalmeinu Kitzalmeinu Kitzalmeinu. That prepares us for Avodas Adam. We can't possibly impose any type of Tzura Elokis on the Bria if we don't have one itself. If the stamp that you want to shape and form things with doesn't have that Tzura, then obviously it's not going to shape anything. And it needs to be a strong enough tzura so that it doesn't get distended in the process. It doesn't lose its own tzura in the interaction, because every interaction is difficult. Whenever you're out there, you're interacting and you're affected to some degree. So if there's an inner strength, you become the one that's effecting some change. And if you don't have that strength, you're affected by something. That's the two ways to it. And a person needs to understand that in that encounter with everything around him, a person needs to ask himself, by pursuing X, Y, or Z, is that, am I the master? Is it something where Seichel has thought it through, made a decision that's logical, that's with Das, and now I am implementing that decision, which is a great fulfillment of Adam, that's Kinyani Adam, that's the ability for Adam to master the world around, which he's supposed to, or have I caught on to something which is now not going to let go of me? Something that has ensnared me because it's so tempting and it's created a need that I never had before. That's the question a person needs to ask in every pursuit. One person's weakness is that he needs to pursue lots and lots of money. And it's not he has to make a living, which is what the Torah wants us, but the person craves money and he becomes a slave of the money. For one person, it's taivas noshim. For one person, it's taivas achila, taivas gaiva, the craving for recognition. There are a lot of areas in which it expresses itself. But the bottom line is that in that transition, which someday we'll all make, from Maimon Har Sinai of Yisroi to going out into the world of Mishpatim, the going out to the world of Mishpatim is really the larger part of Avodas Adam. But the klal is the person needs to avoid being an Eved Ivri. The first warning sign is as you go out and acquire things, don't sell yourself in the process. That's Eved Ivri. That's the first warning sign before you do anything positive. Once a person understands the process, with the Oizen Shashama Bar Sinai, Avodai Heim, V'lei Avodai Avodim, once you understand that, now you're ready to go out and whatever acquisitions you'll make, whatever interactions you'll have, whatever kinyonim you'll own, you'll be the master, and you will put the tzura lekis on the redu, on the dgei aretz, and the dgei ayamim, and so on and so forth. Batzlacha.
Yeah.
Hi.
Speak a few minutes.
I'm good. Okay.
So I was in the space.